The Siskiyou Film Fest returns to Grants Pass this coming weekend for its annual set of screenings of films on environmental causes and issues. Films begin Sunday at 4 at the Performing Arts Center at Grants Pass High School. Among the offerings in this year's Siskiyou Film Fest, Speak for the Trees. It is the name of a short film, 13 minutes, about an effort to preserve forest land in the Little Applegate Valley and the name of the group profiled by the film. So we'll be saying Speak for the Trees a lot, and meaning two things in essence. We have the filmmaker and one of the group's co-founders, Dean Hahn, is the Speak for the Trees filmmaker. Dean, welcome to you. Thanks for joining us in the studio.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
And Lydia Dolman is with us as well. She is the Speak for the Trees group co-founder and treasurer. Welcome, Lydia.
Hi. Great to be here.
So Lydia and Matt Ramsey and their daughter Madeline are stars of the film. So Dean, talk about how the film got started and why you chose them for your focus.
Well, Matt was an old friend of mine, and I was living in Los Angeles at the time, and Matt and I had dinner up in Portland one night, and he told me about the effort that they had started to raise money to buy this piece of land off of a logging company called Spalding Timber. And so I thought, you know, I worked in film, and I thought that I could help in that regard. We could make a film about it and raise some money that way. And so I started coming up to this area about once a month for the next 7 to 8 months and shooting and editing, and was working at Lionsgate at the time, so I was kind of doing it on the weekends. And yeah, and then we put it out there, and initially it didn't quite do what we had hoped, but then we found the right people, and those people were able in a position to financially help us to secure the property from being logged, and now it's in a preserve, basically a trust that is a preserve that we're kind of starting next phases of work on now, doing some restoration work and some thinning work, and we're kind of building a program around the success of the film.
So Lydia, tell us about the area that we're talking about here, and what was going on, essentially uphill or adjacent to you or in your property?
So basically in our neck of the woods, so to speak, and it's 110 acres of very steeply forested second growth. Yeah, to us and to our neighborhood, it seemed like a really special place that warranted people getting involved and caring about. And now I think it's been a great success story for the neighborhood that we were able to acquire this piece of property.
So who owns the land or owned the land, and what was the plan for it?
Prior, it was owned by Spalding, and Speak for the Trees purchased that property from Spalding.
Wow. It makes for a short sentence, but it was a much longer process than that, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was a very uphill battle. But at the same time, I think on some level, it's a little bit unprecedented for a group of people to come together in order to collectively own a piece of property like this.
This seems like a very small community, although perhaps somewhat tight-knit. I mean, and I gather that you and Matt live pretty far out there and reasonably off the grid.
Yes. Pretty far out there and definitely off the grid.
Can you tell us a bit what daily life is like?
Well, this winter has been a very, very snowy winter. So it's been a lot about putting chains on and taking chains off and dealing with the elements, which I think most of us live in Southern Oregon because we love the elements here. I love seasons. And when there is a great deal of snowpack, you know that hopefully in the summer you have less smoke. So there's a trade-off.
Do you live off the land? I mean, are you pretty close to it and living something like a sustainable lifestyle out there?
Sustainability is a big interesting way to describe a lifestyle. But I think for the most part, I try to keep my life as local as possible. And there's a lot of great support networks within the Applegate. So it's like down the road is a bakery and there's a creamery. And I can get a lot of my food locally sourced from my neighbors so that we can kind of economically and like nutritionally sort of support each other.
There's an interesting twist here that becomes clear right off the top of the film. The film, again, is called Speak for the Trees. And that is that you and Matt Ramsey are by no means opposed to the use of wood as a building material.
Correct. So I think that there's a tendency with issues at this point in the game that it's black and white. And so what I think I personally really want to illustrate is that it's not about no logging whatsoever, that there's a huge difference between having a relationship with a piece of land versus seeing it as something that you can have an extractive relationship with. And yeah, so in our forest management plan for the Speak for the Trees acreage, it's not about not logging. It's about ways that we can sort of work with the land and still pull materials from it that are useful, but not in a way that's kind of downgrading the ecological capacity of the space.
And you and Matt are both woodworkers, is that right?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. In what capacity? What have you done?
Well, I do a lot of carpentry, but I also do sustainable building using natural materials, so straw bale, straw clay. But wood is always a component, and wood is a fantastic building material. It's more just the ability, since we live in Southern Oregon and timber is a resource here, it's about creating economic relationships. So we work with a lot of local millwrights and try to source our materials as locally as possible as a way of like kind of taking responsibility for the materials we use.
So it is by no means a don't ever cut a tree ever kind of thing.
Right. No. I mean, there's definitely thinning is an important part of creating a healthy forest, but it just one person's definition of thinning might be very different from another person's. And I think it takes kind of a craft. It's like a craft and a skill for people to analyze each unit, as however you sum it up, to figure out what might be the best for whatever your long-term or short-term strategies are.
Lydia Dolman is the co-founder and treasurer of the group Speak for the Trees. Dean Hahn is the maker of a film by the same name, Speak for the Trees, which will be part of the Siskiyou Film Fest coming to Grants Pass this Sunday. And you can join the conversation here on The Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. Here's a call from Walter in Medford. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Good morning. Hi, Jeff. And I want to thank you guys for hosting this and doing all the great work that you do. And I also especially want to thank Dean and the movie Siskiyou Film Fest, KS Wild, for all the great work they're doing with regards to presenting these films. My question is, how can the listening audience assist further, aside from going to the film fest and participating and creating their why as to why this is an important issue, but how can they assist further with these issues that seem to dominate our region, and especially where we live in an era where our highest levels of government seem to follow alternative facts, and how can we best assist in this?
Okay, thanks for the question, Walter. Appreciate it. Wow. Why don't we ask the activist first? That'd be Lydia.
It's like, which one of us? Well, I think educating yourself, getting involved, because there's two different, I mean, there's private lands issues and there's public lands issues. So trying to get as much information as possible and educating yourself, or like you said, talking to different organizations like KS Wild, so that you there's so much information floating around at this point and so many things going on. It's really easy to become overwhelmed. But I think instead of, you know, kind of relegating yourself to a camp where maybe you have instantaneous knee-jerk reactions, it's really important to like educate yourself, have conversations, talk with the people, talk with your public officials, whether you're talking with the Forest Service, the BLM, ODF, or talking with your senators and representatives about what is going on and trying to get information and also making your voice heard about what your values are.
Dean, you had talked earlier about trying to get this film to be, I gather, part of the fundraising process for the group Speak for the Trees.
Correct.
And you mentioned that you had to meet the right people. Who were the right people?
When I was still living in Los Angeles, through a friend, I met a woman named Sheila Laffey, who has been working as my producer on this film. And through her and her connections, we found the right funders. And I don't really want to give names because I just don't want people calling him looking for funds.
But you found some wealthy benefactors, it sounds like.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We have a clip that we can play from the film, and I just want people to get a sense of this is from the middle of Speak for the Trees, and let's hear that now.
Like here now, we're losing what little topsoil there is. It's just kind of a self-perpetuating destructive path once you start taking all the trees out of an area.
I'm a carpenter. I use wood for a living. I'm not anti-logging. I believe there's a balance that can be struck where it's not only every healthy tree that's taken, but selective logging so that a canopy remains intact. The Fertile Crescent is now a desert. That's where the Garden of Eden was. So they think that they can continue to take like this indefinitely, but it's not true. We will turn the Pacific Northwest into a desert if we continue to take it the way that we're taking it now.
And yet, as catastrophic as that statement may sound, if we keep doing this, something awful will happen. I don't really get a sense from the film that death and destruction is imminent, Dean. And so it was an interesting balance you drew there. I'm curious to know how carefully you cultivated this sense of getting beyond the easy outrage and getting into more nuanced opinions and descriptions.
What was the question?
How carefully did you craft this film to get beyond the easy black and whites?
You know, it took a long time, and I think as I as I got more involved with it and began to understand the issue a little more, I realized how complex it was. And you know, this the idea of this film was, you know, where it stands now, the film has changed a little bit because I did an update for the film festival to reflect kind of the success that we had. So the original film was a way to say, hey, these are things that happen as a result of clear cutting and improper forest practices. And so, I'm a little lost on what I'm...
All right, but the idea then was that you were looking for some sense of I mean, it really is a movie about people. I should point that out, that the opening sequence is of Matt and Lydia and Madeline waking up in bed. And Madeline, of course, is a little baby at this point. How old is she now?
She's almost five.
Almost five, really. Mm-hmm. And so she's quite the young child in this film and a bald-headed little baby. But it's all really cute, sweet stuff. I don't think we ever see chainsaws in the movie, do we?
We hear them.
Yeah.
Yeah, and we see some logging trucks and some big claws of logging machinery.
Mm-hmm. So it's a work that's been in progress for a long time, Lydia, from the sounds of it, if Madeline's five now.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, part of it was starting a nonprofit and kind of trying to create a prototype, essentially. And then now it's kind of going, hoping to evolve into something bigger. So for Speak for the Trees, we're definitely looking to possibly acquire more land because, you know, part of the checkerboard is a lot of private lands and it's regulated very differently and not scrutinized in a way that public lands are. So people who live rurally who share a boundary with some private lands would be heavily impacted, like it's still legal to spray herbicides on private lands. So there's definitely a lot of private lands logging issues that Speak for the Trees hopes to be able to help address. And part of that is just in kind of that concept of community forestry.
Is it a fairly constant thing going? I mean, we're talking about the Little Applegate Valley. I know in the larger Applegate Valley, we've been talking about the Ned's Bar timber sale and other concerns about cutting next to trails and things like that. But is it a fairly constant issue in the region?
Yes. Yeah. I mean, I think it seems like each summer we have some kind of sale that comes up and, you know, then we have the response to it. So the Ned's Bar was definitely a big two-year project just because it was a very large public lands logging sale, and it really affected a lot of people in the Applegate.
The checkerboard, is it? We talk about the BLM land around there?
Yes, the ONC lands. And
yeah, okay, yeah, and this is something we seem to explain about once a month here.
Right.
But the idea being that when the original land grants were made to railroads in the western part of the country, they were made in alternate sections. So a square mile private and a square mile public, and a square mile private and a square mile public is what we ended up with, and it literally is a checkerboard.
Yeah, and if anybody who's been in an airplane, who's flown out of the Medford Airport, has probably seen evidence, particularly when we have a snowy year, is then it's stark contrast between white squares and green squares.
Let us take a call. We have Boyd in Wolf Creek on the line. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange. We're talking to Lydia Dolman from the group Speak for the Trees and Dean Hahn, the filmmaker of the movie Speak for the Trees.
Thanks, Jeffrey.
Sure.
I'm a member of Lichen, which is an environmental sanctuary of 140 acres. Mm-hmm. We just completed a logging project, several log truckloads, thinning to keep a garden space serviceable. But we also completed a forest management plan in partnership with the Southern Oregon Land Conservancy. And the basic trigger that your guest used was the word thinning. And I was wondering if they could discuss formulas for thinning, because every stand is different, and we have the very crude stricture of nothing over 7 inches without consultation with the Land Conservancy. Mm-hmm. That's a good starting point, but we want a mixture of conifer and hardwoods, and the conifers tend to take over. So I'm inclined to take larger diameter Douglas fir, for example.
All right. Let's get some response from Lydia about what she meant by thinning. Thanks for that, Boyd.
Right. Well, I think, you know, having some kind of diameter cap is a useful tool for that. But I think, once again, it's kind of a subjective thing. And if you're working with your forester and you have particular goals in mind, is that then you can apply maybe like your priorities to particular stands. So I think to have any kind of very homogenous approach to something might not kind of give you the forest structure that you're looking for. So, you know, and then there's so many variables. I think there really is an art to forestry. So it takes somebody who's spending time in the woods who understands, you know, what sort of the long-term objectives of, you know, the human population in the area and then what your wildlife objectives are and your ecological objectives. So I don't think that there really is any perfect formula for that, but I think that there's great guidelines where you kind of set a diameter limit. But maybe, like you say, you take a few of the larger ones that are selected in particular sites that seem to make sense for that reason. And particularly when your primary objective is not economic but ecological, you'll make very different decisions based on that.
I'm curious about how much of an education this was for you. You knew wood, you knew how to work with wood, and you were very careful in how you used wood. But how much did you know about where wood comes from and how that is all managed?
Oh, right. Just from a building background and, you know, as a young age, kind of going more of having a concern for the environment led me to wanting to foster connections with the materials that I was using on a daily basis. And then as a builder, as you realize that so much stuff comes from very far away, that as you, one definition that I use for sustainability is shortening your dependencies. So in order to have shorter dependencies, you need to know where your material items come from. And wood, particularly in your Western United States, is you can have a much more direct relationship with that. And the more you kind of know your logger and your sawyer, or you have an idea of, you know, just where your materials are being processed, then you have a little bit more of an idea of what's happening. But my first exposure was probably in Missoula, Montana, taking an environmental studies class and walking into a clear cut for the first time and noticing a very stark difference between just air temperature, for one thing, and then soil quality, and then all of these things kind of percolated out of that.
Hmm. When you describe know your sawyer and logger, it sounds very much like know your farmer.
Oh, exactly. Mm-hmm. And I think that there are a lot of parallels, even though I don't want to superimpose the agricultural model on forestry, even though that's kind of the template that we've been handed. But, you know, as someone, I grow a lot of food, and I think it's the same thing as like thinning carrots. You kind of sit there and you pick which ones, how far you want to space them, and what your end goal is. So pretty similar.
Lydia Dolman is the co-founder and treasurer of the group Speak for the Trees and featured prominently in the film Speak for the Trees, for which Dean Hahn is the filmmaker, bringing it to the Siskiyou Film Fest in Grants Pass this weekend. So there are other people in the film, too. Tell us about Gordon Marvin and how he came to your attention.
Well, when I was making the film, a friend had told me that they knew somebody named Gordon Marvin and that Gordon Marvin lived near Roseburg. And that back, I think it was 1996 when there was this really heavy rain. And the following year, there was a landslide that killed quite a few of his friends, four people that lived in this community up there. And I really kind of saw this parallel with the situation here in the Little Applegate as well and what happened there. And so it kind of just made sense to me, like, you know, I need to go talk to this guy and get his story about what happened. And yeah, so I went and Gordon is an awesome, awesome guy. And so I went and interviewed him, and he gave me kind of this, as a documentary filmmaker, kind of this treasure trove of material and old home videos, which are really kind of powerful, I think. And
yeah, truly, when you get to look at his wife, who is no longer with us.
Right.
Because of that landslide, I gather.
Yeah. In fact, it's interesting. Her and I share the same birthday, February 13th, so next week. And yeah, you know, his story was so, it really kind of just grabbed me and made me quite angry. And I felt like, you know, to pay homage to his wife who had passed because of this issue, I needed to put it in the film. And, you know, it was kind of a similar story. They fought the timber, they tried to take it to court, and they ended up really kind of losing. And it was... What was the timber company name? I think it was Swanson.
Swanson, okay.
Yeah, I think it was Swanson. Or it's Champion, which was bought by Swanson, okay. Actually, I think.
So, Lydia, you mentioned 110 acres. How much did it cost, and how long did it take to bring the money together to make that purchase?
Excellent question. It was $175,000.
Mm-hmm.
So we purchased that, and we, through loans and through donations, we were able to buy it pretty quickly. So I think we bought it... trying to remember when we closed, maybe a year and a half after we had successfully stopped the logging.
All right. So it was a multi-part process. You first had to convince people not to do the logging and then convince them to give you. And then did they sell the land for what its value was, or did they give you a break?
Oh, no. The original asking price was $156,000, but because it had taken so long for us to come up with the funds that the price – rose, and so then we had to borrow money in order to close the deal because we didn't want to end up renegotiating. So we had a very generous friend and neighbor donate, or not donate, but give us a loan in order to make up the difference.
Dean, you mentioned reworking the film a bit. Do you have enough material to make it into something bigger, or do you intend to make it into something bigger at some point?
Well, I'm currently working on a project called The Paper Trail, which is kind of not an expanded version of Speak for the Trees, but a much broader film, and it's a feature-length project that I've been working on for about 2 years now. And we've been raising money, and I've been filming. Lydia and I have been filming, and I've been interviewing all over Southern Oregon and Oregon. And it kind of takes not just a little Applegate perspective, but a much larger perspective on the ONC lands, public lands, as well as our relationship to wood and logging and solutions and what we can do to kind of try to change some of these practices that we're involved with.
Speak for the Trees is one of 10 films, as I count them, at the Siskiyou Film Fest coming Sunday to Grants Pass High School. The doors open at 3. The films begin at 4, sponsored by KS Wild, the Klamath Siskiyou Wildlands Center. Lydia, one question before we go. I noticed that you were involved with Dignity Village in Eugene. That's been one of your carpentry projects.
Yes. Well, there's a Dignity Village in Portland, and So that was a big project where we used mostly almost all reclaimed materials to build really low-cost ecological shelters for people in need.
All right. So if anybody has any questions about how carefully you use wood products or building materials, that would be an example. Dignity Village, Portland. Sorry, I was thinking Opportunity Village, Eugene.
Yeah, which is great that it's a growing movement.
All right. Thank you both for coming on today. Dean Hahn is the filmmaker of Speak for the Trees, the 13-minute film coming to the Siskiyou Film Fest. Lydia Dolman is featured prominently in the film. She is the co-founder of the group Speak for the Trees and still its treasurer?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever. All right. Thank you both for joining us today at the Jefferson Exchange.
Yeah, great. Thank you.